Steve Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor and they're ready to score, so let the game begin. And let's see how the ball's gonna bounce today.
Tim Gallagher, NBA historian, joins the Chicago Bullseye basketball historian. Tim, unbelievable set of circumstances since your last appearance on the Bullseye, from Kevin Durant to Rondo signing with the Bulls, and then obviously Dwayne Wade, the big news of the day. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on all three. Let's start out with Dwayne Wade joining the Chicago Bulls. Wow. Let's start out with, first of all, I'd like to get your opinion, how you heard. What was your initial take, how he's going to fit in with the team? Also get your take on Wayne Wade overall as a player, and going forward, what this means for the organization.
Sure. Well, I saw it come across the ticker watching NBA.com, and I had to do a double take and rewind it to make sure I was reading that, because I think Wade has kind of bluffed in the past that he might be leaving Miami, and everyone just assumed it was a negotiating ploy to get a little more money out of him. And so when I saw that the Bulls were the team that he selected, I was shocked. And, you can't say the Bulls are sitting on their hands this time around in the off season. I mean, they're doing some dramatic things, making some dramatic changes. So people were unhappy with the way things went last year. And we won't go into that again, as we've discussed on many podcasts, with the injuries and what could have, should have been with a healthy lineup. That's gone. And so obviously they're making some dramatic changes to try to do something today. I mean, Dwayne Wade didn't come to the Bulls to win 28 games, right? He's not going to go out quietly. As far as Dwayne Wade as a player, I've always been intrigued by him. I saw him play when he took Marquette to the Final Four. I was at that Final Four. They lost in the semifinals, but he was somewhat unheralded, right? In his first year at Marquette, he had to sit out to get his academics in order, and I've always liked guys that kind of maybe had to take the long road, and there's stories about Marquette being on the road his freshman year of college, but not eligible to play, and so he was in the gym working on his game and, kind of, the odd man out, so to speak, until he got things in order. So the fact that he had to kind of work his way into eligibility and then playing at Marquette, and then the next thing you know, Marquette's in a Final Four, and obviously he used that as a springboard to get into the draft. And at Miami, the fact that he's had two different runs with two different coaches, although Pat Riley's obviously a common thread in all of it, but the second time Spoelstra was coaching and Riley in the front office, building that team up with Shaq and winning a championship there, and then, of course, the LeBron, Ray Allen, Bosch team that also got a couple of rings. So, the fact that he's a proven star, a future Hall of Famer, and, the thing I like about it as well is he'll be I guess the thing that I'm hoping is happening in the front office is that Gar, Pax, Fred are talking with Dwayne Wade in terms of making it very clear that, okay, here's your role. You're 1A and Jimmy is 1B. Jimmy has the understanding that, okay, you're going to be shadowing one of the all-time greats of the game, a future Hall of Famer. You're going to be ready to take the baton from him when he, gracefully exits, say, in 2 years. And hopefully Jimmy has that mindset. And now, obviously, Wade is getting up there in age, but it's still a very productive player. And I remember watching, I was almost in shock how well he played against Charlotte in the playoffs. It looked like he turned back the clock. He was playing like a 28-year-old. And
absolutely.
So I'm assuming he's going to be healthy. The Bulls certainly have some health karma coming their way. So that's the key, is can they stay healthy? And the other moves, though, that resulted in that, and moving Dunleavy and Calderon, in some ways, I like the fact that Dunleavy's and move, because that really opens it up for Nico and Doug to step up, right? They have to now, right? There's, you know, last year,
right.
When's Dunleavy coming back from the injury? You know, well, we always got Dunleavy. We can put it in that lineup, but Doug or Nico doesn't come through. And now it's really on their shoulders. And I think they're both very capable players. I mean, we've seen not consistently yet, and hopefully as they matured in the league and their skill set and strength and so on is improving, that they're going to be ready to step up and take a more vital role with the team. But it was a little bit stunning. I know Wade's from Chicago. I know his history. So the fact that the Bulls were able to pull this off, I think, is really exciting.
What about – it really is. I mean, and I think for the franchise, it kind of just sends a message that, you know, there's this general narrative in the fan base that we can't sign anybody of consequence, even though despite the fact that Gasol was number two in that class and despite the fact that Boozer was a top five. I really think, you know, no one really expected Wade to leave Miami. But let's say if he was really the free agent, if he was really kind of viewed by teams as a guy who could potentially leave, I think he would have been right up there, you know, with all the free agents in this class. And it's just a massive move of consequence that Chicago is a place to be, Miami isn't. You know, it's almost like that statement's out there according to Dwayne Wade. So, and he is clearly has so much respect among the other players and so much – I mean, he brought the big three together. I don't think it was Riley. I think it was Dwayne Wade who really made that happen. And he's still clearly very close with LeBron. So all good things there. Factoring in the Rondo signing, like, get your opinion on Rondo. What do you think of him as a player? Did you get to see him a lot last year in Sacramento? We don't get to see him that much in Chicago. What do you think of that acquisition and how that fits with the team as currently constituted?
Well, that was also very surprising, and I was already kind of picturing Calderon being the point guard, which, you know, even though he's been a solid, steady player over the years in the league, it's not that exciting of an option, and you know, I think he's kind of on the downside of his career. So the fact that they shook things up and brought in Rondo, I have watched a lot of him over the years. So with him, he's a complex personality, right? I mean, he's an amazingly talented player, and I've read stories about him, and people can Google. I know he's got an exceptional IQ and brilliant at mathematics and things like that, which is sort of unexpected things that he's interested in, and just the way his mind works. The other thing, just as a player, and I've been known here on these podcasts as the basketball historian, he does things on the floor that very few people that have ever played do. And I mean, when I say that, I mean seeing angles, using the full dimensions of the court differently than almost any players I've ever seen. Like, you know, maybe Ginobili does things like that sometimes, or a Jason Kidd or Magic Johnson, but just the types of things he's able to execute on the floor that are so unique and athletic and creative. So he's certainly a fun player to watch when things are clicking. In terms of, you know, he led the league in assists last year. Now, granted, that was a bad Sacramento team, and hopefully a year in purgatory in Sacramento hasn't poisoned him. And, you know, his stop prior to Sacramento was not pleasant when he was basically fired from the Dallas Mavericks, right? So he didn't connect with Coach Carlisle. And, gosh, over the years, Dallas seems like one of those destinations that Cuban takes care of his players. Rick Carlisle, the player's coach, that Rondo somehow kind of spit in the face of all that and basically, you know, was banished to Sacramento. You know, obviously that's the dark side of Rondo and the concerning aspect of, you know, what are we going to get with him? Now, the fact that Wade is there, so Rondo is going to be accountable to, one of the all-time greats, right? And, you know, one of the strongest personalities. So someone that's been able to play with LeBron, play with Chris Bosh, play with Ray Allen, play with Shaq, and make it work. So, obviously, Dwayne Wade knows the dynamics and what it takes to get talented, but sometimes, you know, not mainstream guys to buy in. So I was, equally excited, just Wade coming in general, but the fact that the influence he can be on Rondo, I think, is significant.
Great point. It makes the signing a lot more palatable that there's a guy there that's going to call, you know, basically demand his respect, I would say.
Right, and Rondo was a younger player in the league at the time, but when he was on those great Boston teams, along with Doc Rivers, of course, being a strong personality as a coach, but there was Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce. So there were people like that around him to, you know, to keep him in check and make sure he was, you know, that he was with the plan of winning. So the other thought about Rondo is because of these last two stops, the Dallas fiasco and then Sacramento, you know, whatever the heck they have going on up there, which is a mess, would probably be putting it nicely. This is kind of, in my view, Rondo's last chance with a playoff team, a playoff caliber team, right? I mean, he can still end up in the league with some, you know, some lower level team that's willing to take a chance, like a Sacramento, on a guy with his talent level, but now have some baggage. So I think the fact that the Bulls are a team, obviously, with playoff aspirations based on the transactions they've done and just what the history of the team is planning to do. I think last year was an aberration. And as we've talked about, 42 wins most years will get you in the playoffs in the East, but it just didn't work out last year. So hopefully Rondo's people, his agent, the people around him, or letting him know that this is kind of your last chance with a good team, with a good franchise to make it work. So I think all those elements, the Wade element, the where Rondo's career path has taken him, and I think he's kind of a timeless player in terms of, you know, regardless of what his age is, he's kind of played that same way. You know, so the talent level's there and the ability to do unique things on the court. So I think it's, again, going to be must-see TV, right, with Wade and Rondo and then obviously the new faces with Lopez and Grant, Denzel Valentine, and then to mix it in with the returnees. I think it's going to be a very intriguing year for watching Bulls basketball.
Oh, absolutely. It went from being, you know, very predictions were downcast, this is going to be a downer of a year, to, you know, I don't see how anyone could look at this team and not say that they were better than last year. A team that had a ton of injuries and 42 wins. I think that, you know, the arrow's pointing up, and I think it could be anywhere from 45 to 53 wins for this team, you know, assuming everything goes right and guys remain relatively healthy. I keep on hearing, too, like, well, now Wade's going to take away minutes and time from some of the younger players, and this isn't Tom Thibodeau coaching the team. His minutes were down, 30 minutes per game last year, over 72 games. I'm hoping for I'll play 60 and play about 28 minutes per game. I think that's a good goal for him to get him ready for the playoffs.
I agree. And one other point about Rondo relating to the Bulls is Fred Hoiberg's had a history of getting good mileage out of troubled and eccentric kind of players at Iowa State. And again, I know we're talking college and it's a different level than NBA, but we've talked many times about Fred's NBA heritage as well as a player and in the front office. But players at Iowa State that were kind of on their last chance, like Royce White, you know, the player that had got kicked out of Minnesota, didn't like to fly on airplanes, and he got to Iowa State and was a star, right, and became a high draft pick of the Houston Rockets, so he didn't pan out in the NBA. We've talked on previous podcasts about Bryce Dejon Jones, who tragically was shot and killed earlier this summer, but he was on his third Division I school, 1 year of eligibility left, and Fred got good mileage out of him at Iowa State, and he got his career in order and played in the league last year. I mean, obviously his death was terrible, but so those are kind of challenging guys that Fred was able to manage and not only manage, but get high production out of. So I'm confident that he's got the right kind of temperament. And again, I'm assuming everybody's on the same page in terms of the front office, Fred, a leader like Dwayne Wade that's going to be a leader in the locker room as well as on the court. And I'm excited about Wade's mentorship of Denzel Valentine as well.
No, absolutely. It's all good. The guy is such a class act. You know, this isn't some temperamental veteran that won't be willing to make other guys around him better. he's a winner, and he's going to be a great example. It's just like a win-win for me. There's nothing bad that can happen here. And let's assume things do go bad. Let's say he gets injured and Rondo's a headache off the court. These contracts are such that these are assets you can move. It's not like we're locked in to 4 years. It's basically one-year deals. You know, so it's a bridge to the 2017 free agent class. If things go well, you know, we could extend him out. If things go bad, and we could use him to recruit. If things go bad, February when the All-Star break happens, yeah, we'll do a full rebuild. We'll trade Jimmy, we'll trade everybody, and we'll tank. And we'll get two lottery picks. So I don't understand the reflex hatred to every move this front office makes. Because I think Valentine was an A-plus move. I think this was an A-plus move. I think Rondo less so, but still, now in retrospect that you've added Wade, I think it's a good move because he's pass first guy as opposed to a shoot first guy. Now,
right.
Go ahead.
Well, one last thought on Rondo, and it is a little bit of a risky move, but I at this point, based on those elements you just mentioned, I'd rather take a little risk and hope for the upside rather than sign some, you know, just basically serviceable point guard like a Calderon or a DJ Augustine, you know, a guy that's a decent player that, you know, that could, you know, handle things, but it's not going to get you to any, you know, advanced levels, right? And so with Rondo, granted there's some potential downside, but if he's on, then there could be some fun in the Chicago Stadium.
Or over
or the United Center. Sorry, I had a little flashback to the glory days.
Yeah. Or overpay for an Etuan Moore. Like, lock yourself into Matthew Dellavedova for 4 years. You know, I mean, really? Is that what you want to do? I really think that it's better off, you know, taking a one-year flyer on a guy like him, like Rondo, than locking yourself into $10 million to $15 million a year for an average player. And potentially ruining opportunities down the line. Got to get into, we're near the end of our time here, Tim. Got to get into, before we go, the Durant decision. Obviously a seismic event. And I would suggest that if Golden State does what I expect them to do and they sweep LeBron next year in the finals, I think LeBron starts looking for another opportunity to, you know, either put together a super team either in Cleveland or elsewhere, potentially Chicago. So, first of all, your opinion on Durant leaving, and what do you think Golden State will be now going forward? Is there anything that could derail them? And then also, what LeBron's reaction to it will be?
Right. Well, that move was definitely stunning to hear that news on the 4th of July. I played in my early morning pickup game and got to the car and flipped on the radio, and that was the news coming out of the sports talk, and I was frankly kind of shocked. I presumed he was going to stay in OKC at least another year, and since they were right on the brink of getting to the finals, and with the development of Adams and Westbrook having one more year, I just thought it all lined up for him to go to stay at OKC. So, although on the other side of it, while it was a little bit surprising, I guess I've kind of become desensitized over the years with free agency signings and guys leaving college early for the NBA when I would, you know, love to see them stay in college, or they really needed more development in college. So nothing really surprises me anymore. So I guess in one way, I totally get it. And I know everybody's already got Golden State in Sharpie marker into the finals, not just penciled in. They've got them already locked in. But the one little thing, and I mentioned it last year when we were talking about free agency and how San Antonio signed Aldridge and everybody was thinking, okay, that's the missing piece and they're going to get past Golden State and get to the finals. But I mentioned at the time, you know, they've still got to replace Corey Joseph, Bellinelli, Tiago Splitter, Aaron Baines. So granted, Golden State's a super team now when you've got the big four with Curry, Thompson, Draymond, and now of course KD. But they are losing Bogut. They're losing Harrison Barnes. And there's just things that, you know, on paper, it looks like, hey, I'd take that deal any day, right? You get KD and they sign Pachulia to play center. And, you know, in return, we have to give up Harrison Barnes and Bogut, but you just don't know all the elements of chemistry and matchups in the playoffs and things like that. So I mentioned some of those role players for the Spurs, and when they were getting punked by OKC and Adams and Cantor were controlling the glass, you don't think that Splitter or Aaron Baines, who became a serviceable backup for Detroit, could have maybe slowed them down a little bit, or that Corey Joseph might have been able to give Westbrook, granted, I'm not saying Westbrook's stoppable, but just a different look, a more athletic, tough defender to maybe slow him down a little bit. So some of those role players, and I know you can't sign and keep everybody based on the way these roster moves are going, but I just don't – I'll believe it when I see it, when Golden State got everything clicking perfectly, just because there are changes, and you just don't know the full impact. The other point about the KD signing is – you just can't underestimate Jerry West as a recruiter. I mean, what a closer, right? So when Jerry West gets on the phone or meets with one of these players, I've seen Jerry West enough in person over the years that he has a certain presence. And obviously we've talked for many different podcasts about his role in the league on many different levels. And as I thought about that, with the Lakers still kind of floundering with what they're trying to do, that it just crossed my mind that I don't know if there's been a bigger blunder in the history of sports that the Lakers couldn't keep Jerry West in some sort of leadership front office position for the rest of his life, basically, as long as he wanted to do it. And the fact that dysfunction with the Buss family, Phil Jackson's ego, I don't know what all specific moves forced Jerry to move on, but the fact that he was a Laker for so much of his professional life and a player. I was joking that, I think he still bleeds purple and gold a little bit, and probably influenced Luke Walton to go ahead and make that move to coach the Lakers. That it just really got me thinking that how Jerry West has been such an influence on building this Golden State team to greatness and recruiting Durant, that the Lakers really blew it by not finding a way to have him part of the program as long as he wanted to be there.
Man, that's great stuff, Tim. Fantastic. I do also understand your point about the chemistry. I mean, that's absolutely true, and it's underestimated, when you add some guys. Look at some of the guys that, LaMarcus Aldridge, you add him to San Antonio, you just assume they're just going to be, one of the best. But this level of talent is just so high. When you're talking about Durant, I mean, he's exponentially better than a guy like Aldridge. And Curry, there's literally probably four of the top 15 players in the NBA on the same team, it's mind blowing. And eventually they're gonna get it. They might not have the same record or better record, but at some point, 5 of 32, I think Harrison Barnes was in the last three games of the finals, and now it's Kevin Durant basically taking his place. That's not gonna happen. It's just not.
Right.
Who are you gonna guard? I mean, goodness gracious, to throw out that lineup and potentially go small with Curry and Thompson and, Green and Durant, there's just somebody's going to be open and somebody's going to hurt you. So it's going to be scary, I think. I really think they're going to be almost a guaranteed title, unless LeBron just sets another record and plays out of his mind. And if he does that, he further solidifies his spot at number two and potentially approaches, discussions with the greatest of all time. So,
right. Well, and I'm not trying to rain on the parade for Golden State signing him. I mean, it is incredible, an incredible collection of talent. But, I do notice those chemistry things and all the pieces to make a team succeed. So there's a lot that weighs into it. The other thing about all of this is it's going to be interesting to see what Westbrook decides to do, or what OKC tries to do with him in terms of extending him or trading him, and kind of the overall impact on, quote-unquote, small market franchises in the league and what that means. Because, Durant walked and OKC got no compensation for that, right? So that's if you're an owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder, that's a little bit of a punch in the gut, where you're not getting any compensation for losing, a top two or three player in the league. Obviously, it's Durant's right to walk and do that, but when a franchise has invested so much in them, it's an interesting discussion point for another time.
Tim, always great to have you on the Bullseye. Can't wait to have you on next week as you head over to visit with your friends at the in Las Vegas and spend some time with watching the Summer League. Can't wait to get your feedback next week. We're really looking forward to having you on again. All the best to you, brother.
Okay, Fred. Always great talking with you. Talk soon.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.